Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Communicators Live, where we help your ministry grow by sharing insider information from professional speakers and writers.
Well, thank you for joining Vonda Skelton and me, Carolyn Kneffley, on Christian Communicators Live today. Thanksgiving is almost here, and we're so thankful for you, dear listeners. You have been you're in for a real treat today with our guest, Lynn Huggins Blackburn. Hey, Vonda, do you remember when Lynn first came to the writers group?
Oh, boy, do I. It was so exciting because Lynn had, I don't remember if we had already had Blue Ridge or she was coming to Blue Ridge or what, but we had that loop, and she posted on there that she was from Simpsonville, and as she tells it, Edie and I pounced on her and told her she had to come to our writers group, and we fell in love with her from the first minute we saw her. As a matter of fact, Lynn, do you remember that book you and I started writing together at one time?
Yes, it's a great story. I really
it
think
is.
It could be a wonderful story if we could ever make life work where we could hang out and work on it again.
That's right. Well, listeners, be sure to wait and listen in for the time that we open the phone lines for questions. And I'll give you that number at that time. But if you're the first caller, you'll win a free book. Back to you, Carolyn.
Thanks a lot, Vonda. Well, Lynn, it's so nice having you here with us today. I'd just like to say a big welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, good. Well, listeners, let me tell you a little bit about Lynn. Lynn Huggins Blackburn believes in the power of story, especially those that remind us that true love does exist. A gift from the truest love, she's passionate about CrossFit, coffee, and chocolate. But don't make her choose. And she likes to experiment with recipes that feed both body and soul. She lives here in South Carolina with her true love, Brian, and her three children. She's represented by Pamela Hancock Murphy of the Stephen Luby Agency. I probably butchered both names. And her first book, but I won't mess up her first book. Her first book is titled Covert Justice, and it was published by the Harlequin Love-Inspired Suspense line and released just this June. Now, be inspired and motivated by Lynn's blog post. All you have to do is go to Out of the Boat, Living Where Fear and Faith Collide by going to her website at www.lynnhugginsblackburn.com. That's LynnHuggins Blackburn, BlackBurn.com. Sorry for messing that up, Lynn, but we're so glad you're here. And I'm going to just start off with saying that we're going to do the pop quiz right now. And this is the hardest part whenever anyone goes through an interview. Tell us about yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about you, Lynn?
Yeah, I was born in Hendersonville, North Carolina, which is very near where I set Covert Justice. And I took some liberties, obviously, with it, but that's the setting for my first book. And I was born into a pastor's family, so I hopped around some in North Carolina and South Carolina growing up, but I wound up at Clemson and graduated from Clemson with a degree in chemical engineering, which, of course, has gone a long way toward helping me with my writing career. But while I was there, I met my husband, Brian, and so our blood runneth orange, go Tigers. And we have three children. Our oldest is Emma. She's 12. And we have James, who is 7. And Drew is 4. And we do live in Simpsonville, South Carolina, and we love it here, and are excited that this is where we landed and where God is, has allowed us to kind of settle and do life.
Well, it's interesting. Engineers are not known, well, they are known for mastering numbers, but literature not so much. How does this being gifted with an engineering mindset and yet creating a word picture through writing, especially a thriller romance?
Well, you know, I probably could have gone in either direction. I had an English professor at Clemson who begged me to change my major. So he really did. He put notes in my papers, "Won't you consider switching your major?" So I think I've always been a good communicator, particularly with the written word, not so great this way. I like to have time to think about it and rewrite it and make it perfect, but I come from a family of storytellers. My great-grandfather was well known for his stories. People loved to listen to him tell stories. And even my father as a pastor, when he was preaching, there was always a story that would kind of catch people off guard a little bit, get them laughing, and then that truth comes in. And so I think I've just grown up around story. And even as a little kid, I had these crazy imaginative stories in my head. It never occurred to me to write them down. I actually thought there was something seriously wrong with my brain. That I had these crazy stories in my head. It wasn't until I was much older that it dawned on me, you could write them down and go from something's wrong with her to she's a writer. Or maybe it's still something's wrong with her and she's a writer. They kind of go together. But I'm also pretty practical, and an English major didn't seem like the best way to pay the bills. So I love science and love math, and was thrilled to be able to go that route. I like the challenge of it, and I enjoyed working as an engineer, but I haven't worked as an engineer since our oldest was born. So it's still fairly far removed these days. But then I turned it in. It worked out great for Covert Justice because I set the suspense plot in a manufacturing facility, which was fun for me.
Which you well knew then.
Yes.
When did you actually start seriously writing?
About 7 years ago, I sat down one night kind of with a story in my head and the idea that how hard could it be? I'm an avid reader. I've been reading forever, and I thought, well, how hard could this be to take the story in my head and put it on paper? And so I just did, and it took me about 6 months, and then I started going, I have no idea what I just did, and started researching writing and writing for publication, and found out just how badly I had done this job of writing the story. But I took a class through the Christian Writers Guild, and when I finished that class, this was in 2009. When I finished that class, my mentor, I said, "What should I do next?" And she said, "You have to go to a conference. That's what you have to do." And fortunately, I have a very supportive husband who didn't think it was crazy, and so I signed up to go to the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference in 2010, and that was my first writing conference, and it was great. I met with some wonderful writers and agents, and they were very complimentary of my work, and then I got pregnant in June with our youngest, so that slowed that whole thing down quite a bit, and it took a couple more years before I started really pursuing publication as far as trying to get things written in a way that could have a chance with an agent or with an editor. So the whole, I would say 2009, 2010, with quite a few stops and starts along the way.
Well, you said you went to Blue Ridge. Did you run into Vonda or Edie while you were there?
Oh, yes. Yes, I had actually come to the writing group that meets here in Simpsonville a couple of times prior to Blue Ridge that year, which was a huge help because I didn't feel quite so alone going into that, which was huge. And yes, Vonda and Edie were just so instrumental in my first reading my work, telling me that it was good, which is sometimes what you need to hear, you know, just some encouragement that this isn't completely crazy. And then helping me not feel so alone while I was there and that I didn't, not knowing anyone going in, which most writers are introverts. I think that's probably a generalization, but it can be really hard to jump into a sea of 400 people and not know a single face. So to find, to have a few familiar faces and a few people that you know you can reach out to if you just get completely overwhelmed was huge.
I have found, too, both Vonda and Edie are gifted with a spiritual gift of loving others up and being encouragers.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
Here's your next.
Well, it was easy to encourage you because you were such a great writer, so...
Thank you.
Well, I have your next pop quiz question. What actually do you write, and why is it a passion to you?
Well, I write both fiction and nonfiction. When I'm writing nonfiction, that usually is in the form of a blog post. I've had a few articles published in Reach Out Columbia magazine that have started out as blog posts. And that is usually the overflow of what God's doing in my life, the just day-to-day stuff where he takes these little moments and then zings that thought through your head where you go, those little glimpses of what he's doing, which I just love, because sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own life and our own head that we forget that none of this is an accident, and he is working, and he is here, and he sees, and he knows, and he's present, and he is at work even in our darkest days and our hardest days and the great days when we're having a great time. And I love when we're seeing what he's doing and seeing his beauty, and then he gives us those little ideas that then I sit down at the computer and I start I think it was C.S. Lewis, I'm not sure. Someone has said, don't know what I think. I don't know what I'm thinking until I write it down. And I think that's what a lot of my nonfiction is. I've got it in my head, but I can't articulate it until I sit down and write it out. And then it all forms that nice picture. And I love doing that. But the fiction, I really do, I've always been a sucker for a love story. As a kid, my motif was hearts. All the way. You know, some kids are into butterflies or unicorns, or not me. Hearts everywhere. Everything hearts. Romances and romantic comedies. And I love a good thriller, but I want some romance in there too. And I really do think it's because that is the, God wired us for romance. He did. He loves us. The whole story is his love story to us. How much he loves us and how he wants to be with us forever. And, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. And I think we're wired to long for that and to seek that. And I think when we can write that from a biblical perspective, a Christian perspective, a worldview that doesn't focus on the physical attraction, but the beauty of what God gave us with that relationship between a man and a woman and what that can be and then what that pictures about the relationship of Christ with his church. And so I love writing both. And whenever I try to say, when I'm having a bad day and I start thinking, I can't do all of this, I need to just quit or put it aside for a time, it never fails within a day. Those fictional characters get really loud in my head. They start chatting it up and throwing out ideas. And, no, we're still here. We have a story to tell. And so I've conceded that both parts are important, and I try very hard. I don't always succeed, but I try to listen, and when I feel really compelled, I don't blog as regularly as I should, but I do when something really hits me and lands hard on my heart, I try to take the time away from the fiction to write whatever that is. And then I also try to give plenty of time to the fiction and make carve time. There's no making time or finding time. You have to hunt it down and go after it to find that time to write fiction. But he seems to want me to do a little of both, and so that's what I try to do.
Well, you're touching on the word time. Vonda, it's time, if you would, to give instructions to our callers about questions, if you would.
Oh, I would love to. Listeners, if you would like to have a chance to win one of Lynn's books, well, her book, Covert Justice, just give us a call with a question that you have for Lynn, and that number is 347-843-4920. 347-843-4920. And back to you, Lynn.
Well, I have a question. You're talking about you really love the romance. How has Christ walked you through your publication story?
Oh, wow. It is such a God-ordained thing, and the fact that it even happened the way it did and the timing just has God's hands all over it. We were coming off of a major home renovation. We had had some flooding due to the really cold weather we had a couple of years ago, and we had come home and pipes had burst and $38,000 in damage to the house. And when I think back about the fact that in the middle of all that, I heard about this contest. I have no explanation for why I entered. There's nothing logical or rational about it. Oh, your house is destroyed. You should enter this contest. There's every reason to say, no, this is a bad time. But because I had been working on it a little bit along the way, and I had gotten some great feedback that I knew my first couple of pages, my first chapter, my synopsis, I knew they were pretty good. I had entered them into contests before and placed pretty high and done well with them, but the book wasn't finished. And the way this particular contest worked, you submitted your first page. If you made it through that round, you submitted your synopsis. You made it through that round, you submit your first three chapters, and then if you made it to the final round, you would submit your full manuscript. And I thought, well, I can handle the first two rounds. I probably won't make it to the third. And so on May and June, when I was frantically trying to finish the book, because I did make it into the final round where I needed to submit a full manuscript, there were days where I was just in complete tears and calling out to my writing friends saying, I have to somehow write 25,000 words between now and the end of the month if I have any hope of editing this and cleaning it up, and I can't do this. But I did, and I can't take any credit for that. Yes, I did put my rear in the chair and my hands on the keys. That's certainly part of it, but God made time and creativity and made that possible in a way that there was no explanation for it other than that he was all over it. And submitted it in June and then got the call in July that they wanted to buy Covert Justice. And, it was insanely exciting and terrifying all at the same time. But it's also, I think, it is true, we have to do the work. We do have to do the work. We have to sit down. We have to put ourselves in that position of being obedient to what he's given us the opportunities to do. But when we do that, he is so faithful to take our truly pitiful efforts and turn them into something that we look at it and go, we don't know how that happened. And God did that. And And he gets all the credit and all the glory for that.
Wow. There with you.
Every step.
As writers,
yes.
As writers and speakers, we know it's a balancing act to keep life from falling apart. You have three children, plus a husband who is supporting you. But, Lynn, how do you juggle writing with such a young family?
Badly. I drop balls all the time. And I do think there's the idea of balance is kind of overrated. It really is a seesaw. You kind of go back and forth. There are times when you really have to just buckle down and write and pray that everybody's okay with takeout and let the laundry pile up some. And then there are times to say, I need to put this away for the next 3 days and or whatever. And I'm still figuring it out. And I think it's a seasonal thing, too. My youngest is almost 5. He'll be 5 in February. And what I can do now, I could never have done 3 years ago. We're just in a little bit, you know, the kids get a little older. And so sometimes things become options that weren't there when they were younger. And so I'd have to continually remind myself that it's a season and I don't have to. And even if I did figure out the perfect way to do it right now, we'd be in a different season 6 months from now. So it's always going to be a challenge to juggle it. And I think the key is a lot of open communication with your spouse and trying to make sure everybody's on the same page and that we're all still going in the same direction. And my husband is great. He is very quick to look at me sometimes and go, I think you probably need to take your laptop and leave the house. And I do, because I do get a little grouchy. If I haven't been writing for a while, it starts to build up and you get kind of like, I need to get out of here and write. And he's great about that. I love Panera. We have a couple of local coffee shops that I will go to and sit and write, and it's wonderful. So it goes back and forth, and it's okay to let it, you know, it's okay. It is okay to let the laundry pile up, let things get a little chaotic for a while. As long as everybody's on the same page and you're not, you know, in conflict over that. And then it's also okay to step back and go, okay, we need to set this aside for a little while and focus here. And everyone's family dynamic's different, and I think it really does depend on where you are. And there were times when my kids were a lot younger, especially after Drew was born, where writing took a huge backseat. And there were times when that bothered me a lot, but I would try to just keep my foot in the door, keep working on it when I could, but not stress so much about it. And I don't regret that at all. God's timing has been perfect. And I can see, even looking back over that time, how he was using that time to get me where I am now.
It sounds like you really have your priorities set. You're a good example. Have you ever wanted to just quit, though?
Yeah. About every third day. There are days when it's just like, this is so ridiculous. It's not worth it. I can't do all this. I should just quit forever or quit for 10 years and come back to it when the kids are all in high school or something like that. And fortunately, I have good friends who will let me quit for like 30 minutes. And they're like, okay, you've got 30 minutes. And then that's it. You're done. And my husband just looks at me anytime I say that, and he kind of laughs. He's like, okay, sure, because that's not going to work. And he's like, would you really be happy if you quit? No. This is, you know, me crying. No, but I don't. Yeah. And so I think that's writing is hard. It's hard emotionally. It's hard It's hard to find the time. There are a lot of other things I could do with my time other than write that would be a lot easier. And but it really does come back to where I feel God has led me and where he's leading our family and what he wants from me. And there are days when I don't want to write, and it is just a simple act of obedience to sit down and just try to get a couple hundred words out and see what happens. And then there are days when I can't type fast enough because the characters are so fun and the story is so interesting and I'm loving every second of it. And I think makes a professional writer stand out from an amateur is you do both. You don't just write on the days when it's easy and fun. You write on the days when it's not. And because I have a family, some days I don't write at all. I'm not a write-every-day writer. I try to write most of the days of the week, but I also don't beat myself up over it if it just doesn't happen one day. But if it stretches for more than a few days, then it's like, okay, time to get back to work.
Well, you said it throughout the program today that your characters chatter, they push you. Where do you get your ideas? Is it from your characters telling you what to write?
Yes and no. I think it's I don't write with an outline. I would like to write with an outline. I think it would be easier. I have a general idea of where the story's going, and because I write romance, I know it's going to end well for the character. That's one thing. That is a hard and fast rule in the romance genre, even in romantic suspense. A lot of people can get hurt in suspense, but the hero and the heroine have to have their happily ever after. This is a rule. It's coming down there at the end. But making their lives miserable in between is also very important. And so it is, sometimes I just have to sit there and start letting them talk. And sometimes they go off and do things I wasn't expected. Sometimes I'm writing and a character just shows up and I go, I wasn't planning on you being here. And that makes no sense to people who don't write fiction because they're like, wait, you're in charge. And it's like, well, kind of, but not. I think Stephen King likens it to kind of paleontology, like you're an archaeologist and you're brushing away and discovering the story that's there. And so I do think there's a lot of that where you just it helps if you are an avid reader anyway and your mind is willing to go into that realm and be creative and experiment with ideas and see what happens if we do this. And I like some things are set in reality, like having an engineer in a story or a manufacturing facility. That definitely draws from real life. And then I think as a kid, I really would have loved to be, a spy. FBI agent, something really cool. My favorite TV shows are NCIS, all of them, NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans. I watch them all. Those kinds of shows. But I'm a complete wimp in real life and would have made a horrible FBI agent. So since I would have been terrible at it in real life, I get to enjoy it fictionally through my characters. It's much safer for me that way.
Yes.
Lynn, I have so enjoyed this interview. We are running out of time. I just want to ask one quick question that you need to pop it really quick.
Okay.
What are the last words you would like to give to our listeners?
Oh, goodness. If you want to write, the best thing to do is write. Write. Write all the time, write anything. Write fiction, write blog posts, write poetry. Just write. Get your words out there and connect with other writers. There is nothing better you can do than find a community of writers that you can hang out with. It will change your whole path, and it's important.
Great. Lynn, this has been a pleasure visiting with you today. Listeners, if you would like to have an ongoing journey, learn more about Lynn, visit her at her website at lynnhigginsblackburn.com. It has been a pleasure being with you, Lynn. Your book, Covert Justice, I look so forward to actually digging deeper into your characters as I read it. And listeners, thank you for joining us today. Without you, there'd be no reason for Christian Communicators Live. May you all have a blessed Thanksgiving, and we appreciate you. If you're interested in Christian Communicators Conference, we'll have a notice in the spring. Thank you so much, and God bless.